From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, diplomatic corner, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news for the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirms politics should not divide nation. Indonesia proves vigilance amid global bird flu outbreaks. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where President Joko Widodo reminded that politics should not divide the nation. Therefore, he asked political parties to strengthen their collaboration in all aspects of the nation's life for the sake of national unity, integrity, and progress. He said in Semarang, Central Java Province on Sunday that forming a coalition is needed because cooperation in politics is very important to foster the nation's unity and integrity. He gave an example saying that during 8 years of his administration under a solid work with coalesced political parties, many positive changes have occurred in Indonesia's national development. He said that in the past, development was always Java-centric. Then his administration shifted the infrastructure development model to become Indonesia-centric. He added that this mode of Indonesia-centricity has enabled the infrastructure development, which has already spent a budget of 3.309 trillion rupiah, to be evenly distributed. The Indonesian government has called on health officials across the country to increase vigilance over a potential bird flu outbreak amid concerns that swift mutations of the H5N1 virus in mammals could turn it into a zoonotic disease that could spread among humans. There has been no report of human-to-human transmission, but people need to remain vigilant, said Maxi Rain Rondonuwu, the Ministry's Director General of Disease Control and Prevention, in a statement released on Saturday. The ministry has issued a circular asking health agencies at the provincial and regency levels to coordinate with the agencies overseeing animal health and other stakeholders to prevent the transmission of bird flu to humans. The Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry detected 81 hotspots, indicating forest and peatland fires in several areas in Indonesia this week. This was stated by Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya after attending the launch of a National Compost Day movement at Jakarta's Benteng Square on Sunday. The ministry also stays alert over the appearance of hotspots in the northern parts of Sumatra Island, such as Aceh, which had experienced forest and peatland fires a few days ago. However, the forest and peatland fires in Aceh had optimally been handled, she said, adding that her ministry also pays attention to North Sumatra, Riau, and West Kalimantan due to their large areas of tropical rainforests and peatlands. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry is currently making utmost efforts to prevent forests and peatlands from burning through various mitigation measures as an effort to reduce 140 million tons of carbon dioxide in 2030. Let's move on to the international news, where the United States is confident that China is considering providing lethal material to support the Russian forces invading Ukraine, senior officials said on Sunday. While there have been no signs Beijing has done so yet, they underscored the U.S. message this weekend that China should not cross that red line. U.S. officials have launched a broad diplomatic offensive over the past week to warn China against providing such lethal assistance, which experts say could have a profound impact on the war in Ukraine as it enters its second year. Media reports, including in the Wall Street Journal and NBC, have cited unidentified U.S. officials as saying China is waiving whether to provide drones and certain munitions to Russia. Israeli and Palestinian officials pledged after rare talks in Jordan on Sunday to prevent more violence, which had surged this year, and saw two Israelis killed in the West Bank as the meeting took place. After comprehensive and frank discussions that included officials from Egypt as well as the United States, the Palestinian and Israeli sides reaffirmed the necessity of committing to the de-escalation on the ground and to prevent further violence. The joint statement in English said, after the meeting in the Red Sea resorts of Aqaba, a senior Israeli official said the participants agreed on a joint security commission to examine corporations and Palestinians' willingness and capacity to take responsibility for the fight against terrorism in territories under Palestinian Authority control. New Zealand will launch an international fundraising appeal for the massive reconstruction work needed after Cyclone Gabrielle tore across the country's north earlier this month, forcing thousands of people into shelters and killing 11. The appeal will fund longer-term recovery projects and target wealthy expatriates, businesses and anyone with affection for New Zealand, said Prime Minister Chris Hipkins on Monday. Facebook owners Meta has offered to promote the appeal, he added. Cyclone Gabrielle hit New Zealand's North Island on February 12th and battered roads and bridges, leaving tens of thousands without power across an area that makes up a third of the country. Police are still searching for four missing people. At least 59 people died, including 12 children, when a wooden sailing boat carrying migrants to Europe crashed against rock near the southern Italian coast early on Sunday, authorities said. The vessels, which sailed from Turkey and was carrying people from Afghanistan, Iran and several other countries, sank in rough seas before dawn near Sutacato di Cutro, a seaside resort on the eastern coast of Calabria. The incidents reopened a debate on migrations in Europe and Italy, where the recently elected right-wing government tough new laws for migrant rescue charities have drawn criticism from the United Nations and others. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today on Turkey's earthquake and international relief. A devastating earthquake shook Turkey and Syria in early February, followed by international relief that shows Turkey is an important nation. Many countries such as the US, Japan, Pakistan, China and Indonesia lent their hands for Turkey. Even Russia and Ukraine, two warring countries, still gave their support. Turkey is an influential NATO member country which supports Ukraine, but at the same time, Turkey also opens communication with Moscow. Ankara's autonomous policy kept causing political frictions. NATO, for example, did mine when Turkey ordered some Russian weapons. However, thanks to good relations with the two conflicting nations, Turkey can play an important role in realizing a wheat deal in 2022. This agreement allowed Ukrainian exports through the Black Sea, which was blocked by Russia. The earthquake relief operation came not only from friends of Turkey. Despite disputes over maritime territories and Cyprus, the presidents of Greece still sent their thoughts and prayers via Twitter, and the Greek prime ministers phoned the Turkish president. And yes, Greece sent their aid to Turkey. Truly, the so-called earthquake diplomacy. During the 1999 earthquake in Turkey that killed 17,000, relieved the tensions between Athens and Ankara. At that time, Greece sent their rescue teams and dogs, as well as two firefighting aircrafts. Turkey in return sent support when Athens was hit by a quake. At the other time, it was proven that post-disaster joint relief operations can bring positive impact for international relations. A Turkish consultant at the Atlantic Council predicted the bilateral relations between Turkey and friends of Ankara will improve. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Begin today in history on February 27 with the event World Non-Governmental Organization NGO Day. World Non-Governmental Organization NGO Day is commemorated to recognize and honor the contribution of non-governmental, non-profit, and independent organizations around the world. The World NGO Day was initiated by a social activist named Marcis Lyers Skatmanis in 2009. However, the World NGO Day received international recognition and commemorated globally for the first time on February 27, 2014. The terms non-governmental organization already existed in the 1945 United Nations UN Charter Article 71. NGOs also have other names, including civil society organization, non-profit or non-profit organization, membership organization, and charitable organizations. That's moving on to the next event in 2010 when Chile earthquake occurred. A massive earthquake with a magnitude of 8.8 rocked Chile. Tremors caused by the earthquakes were also felt in Peru, Argentina, and Ecuador. The epicenter was located about 200 miles southwest of the Chilean capital Santiago. This earthquake and tsunami event was recorded to have claimed to lives about 525 people. All coastal areas facing the Pacific Ocean in the Americas are earthquake-prone areas. We entered in history with an event about International Polar Bear Day. Polar Bear Day is commemorated every February 27. This day was created by the non-profit organization Polar Bears International PBI in 2011. The purpose of this day is to raise awareness among all parties to protect the endangered polar bears. Climate change is a major threat for the existence of polar bears. In addition, hunting also contributes greatly to the decline in the population of these mammals. The commemoration of International Polar Bear Day is expected to motivate all parties to be actively involved in efforts to preserve this animal.
Para tú, si no pesa allá tú.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Ministry of Industry encouraged the absorption of domestic ceramics products, including through spending based on the state's revenues and expenditures budget. In this way, the national ceramics products are able to become hosts in their own country. Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita, in his written statement last Thursday, said that one of the focuses of the Ministry of Industry is for Indonesian national products to quickly obtain certification. He also said that the national ceramics industry has bright prospects in line with the growing domestic market. In the ceramics industry's roadmap submitted by the Indonesian Ceramics Association, the production of 551 million square meters of ceramics increased to 810 million square meters. This quantity was to meet the target for the per capita use of ceramics in Southeast Asian countries of 3 square meters. If it is met, Indonesia will become the fourth largest producer of ceramics in the world and the best in Asia. Minister Agus Gumiwang also emphasized that his side will continue to assist and support this target. Moreover, the ceramic industry is aimed to achieve utilization of above 82% by 2024. Currently, utilization has reached 78%. Meanwhile, General Chairperson of the Indonesian Ceramics Association, Edi Sutanto, appreciated the efforts of the Ministries of Industry to continue to encourage the sustainability of the national ceramic industry. Through various policies issued by the Ministry of Industry, the national ceramics industry continues to expand and is able to recover more quickly after being hit by the COVID-19 pandemic. Edi Sutanto also said that the policies of the Ministry of Industry were felt to be part of the solution to the problems faced by ceramic industry players, especially through the presence of the operational permits and industrial activity mobility, which proved very effective during the COVID-19 pandemic and the community activities restriction.
Voice of Indonesia.
Berawal dari tatap, indah senyummu memikat, memikat hatiku yang hampa lara. Senyum membawa tawa, tawa membawa cerita, cerita kasih indah tentang kita. Terkadang ku ragu, kadang tak percaya, tapi ku yakin kau milikku. Kau membuatku bahagia di saat hati ini terluka. Kau membuatku tertawa di saat hati ini terbawa, terbawa oleh cintamu untukku, untuk kita. Kadang ku ragu, kadang tak percaya, tapi ku yakin kau milikku. Kau membuatku bahagia di saat hati ini terluka. Terbawa oleh cintamu untukku, untuk kita.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. VOI listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder takes you to Terawang Cave, which is a natural tourism attraction located in Kedung Wungu Village, Todanan District, Blora Regency, Central Java Province, Indonesia. Located 32 kilometers west of downtown Blora or 107 kilometers from Semarang City, this cave is located in the middle of a dense thick forest. Its location is indeed hidden, but this cave offers beauty for those of you who visit it. Inside Terawang Cave, there are stalagmites and stalactites that are estimated to be over 110 million years old. This tourism spot is called Goa Terawang or Terawang Cave because inside the cave there is a large natural hole that allows sunlight to enter the cave, which creates a very beautiful silhouette. The right time to visit this cave is during the day because the beauty of this cave will be increasingly visible when sunlight begins to enter the cave through the holes in the ceiling. You can hunt for beautiful photos with unique views in this cave. To go to Terawang Cave from the town of Blora, you have to head towards Ngawen Market Junction, then turn right across the road to Japa, Padaan, Ngapus, until you arrive at Todanan. From Semarang City, you can take the Semarang Purwodadi Wirosari route and then head to Kunduran, Blora Regency. Right at the T junction in front of Kunduran Health Center, visitors can turn left across a smooth road for about 8 kilometers. The Terawang Cave tourism area is right on the edge of the road. In the tourist area of Terawang Cave, which covers 13 hectares, there are 5 other caves that are no less beautiful, namely Manggah Cave, Gombak Cave, Duck Cave, Kuncir Cave, and Macan Cave. If you visit this area, also take the time to visit one of these 5 beautiful caves. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Derasnya kehidupan, letih persahabatan, sejenak hilang pergi jauh dalam sang waktu membawa ku ke hari pertama saat masih terasa ku ingat detik itu, kisah rumahku dan
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is about ordering food, so stay tuned. We are going to present you a conversation entitled Saya Ingin Nasi Goreng. Saya Ingin Nasi Goreng, which means I want fried rice. This conversation happens between Dev Singh, a tourist from India, and a waitress. Dev wants to order fried rice.
Pesan apa, Pak?
Saya ingin nasi goreng.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times and you can repeat after me. Saya, saya, which means I. Ingin, ingin, which means want. Nasi goreng, which means fried rice. Saya ingin nasi goreng. Saya ingin nasi goreng, which means I want fried rice. Saya pesan, which means I want to order. Teh lemon, which means lemon tea. Saya mau, which means I want. Kopi, kopi, which means coffee. Tanpa gula, which means without sugar. Saya mau kopi tanpa gula. Saya mau kopi tanpa gula. Which means I want coffee without sugar. Nasi kuning, which means yellow rice. Nasi bakar, which means grilled rice. Nasi uduk, which means steamed coconut rice. Nasi kebuli, which means spiced rice. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, Saya ingin nasi goreng. Saya ingin nasi goreng, which means I want fried rice. In the sentence, there are the words, Saya ingin, which means I want. It states the intention to order something. If you want to order something, you can use the words saya ingin, which means I want, followed by something ordered. For example, nasi goreng, which means fried rice. Besides the expression saya ingin, which means I want, if you want to order something, you can use the expression saya pesan, which means I order, or saya mau, which means I want. Let's listen to the other examples to order something. Saya pesan teh lemon, which means I order lemon tea. Saya mau kopi tanpa gula. Saya mau kopi tanpa gula, which means I want coffee without sugar. Besides nasi goreng, which means fried rice, in Indonesia, there are some other menu with rice as the main ingredient. For example, nasi kuning, which means yellow rice. Nasi bakar, which means grilled rice. Nasi uduk, which means steamed coconut rice. Nasi kebuli, which means spiced rice. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Pesan apa, Pak? Saya ingin nasi goreng.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Selalu menunggu, selalu menunggu.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. The next segment is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's Music Corner presents you a Malay song entitled Moto Negeri by Dr. Andes Haji Bahtiar Ismail. The song, which was composed by Dr. Andes Haji Bahtiar Ismail, is a regional song of Palalawan, one of regencies in Riau Province, Sumatra Island. According to the title of the song tells about the motto of Palalawan Regency, namely Tuah Negeri Seiya Sekate, where the people uphold the values of mutual cooperation, deliberation, help, and the same destiny. Well, listener, here is the Malay song entitled Moto Negeri by Dr. Andes Haji Bahtiar Ismail. Enjoy!
Di dalam dunia akhirat akan
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Jangan engkau selalu
Voice of Indonesia.
Indahnya awal kita bertatap mata, ku menyapamu di seberang sana. Gundah gelisah seakan terlupa, tawa candamu mengalihkan semua. Getaran ini terasa nyata. Apakah kau juga merasa kau dan aku bersama mencari arti dunia? Kau yang terindah yang membuatku bahagia. Kau dan aku bersama mencari arti dunia. Kau yang terindah yang membuatku bahagia. Tingkahku yang terkadang kau tangisi, jangan kau pendam di dalam hati. Maaf semua takkan ku ulang lagi. Indah rasanya senyummu kembali. Getaran ini terasa nyata. Oh, apakah kau juga merasa dan aku bersama mencari arti dunia? Kau yang terindah yang membuatku bahagia. Kau dan aku bersama mencari arti dunia. Kau yang terindah yang membuatku bahagia.
Programs on the English program from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any comments, suggestion, criticism, any feedback for Voice of Indonesia, just drop us a line through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok at VOI_official and YouTube channel VOI Official. I'm Rahma signing out. I'll see you in the next interesting edition of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.